Everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Dave Johnson, joined by the, I don't know if I'm using the word correctly, the typical maudlin group. Mac, maudlin, is that the correct use of the word?
Sure, why not?
Okay, do we know? I guess. All right, whatever. Someone, intern, look that up. So, okay. So Mac McIntyre.
I can do.
Eric Asperschlager.
Hey.
And Daryl Loomis, we haven't spoken to for a while, so.
Not in a while. Howdy, howdy.
Yeah, all right, so he's back. So why don't we just start off with you, Daryl? Why don't you fill us up. Gas station attendant.
Okay.
Fill us in. What have you been up to? Anything to report on since you're
let's call see. It a sabbatical? Not a whole ton. I've been working a lot of my own stuff and have been got myself caught back up on 30 Rock the last week through Verdict, which was nice. A show that that I genuinely love, especially since it jumped a shark.
What's that one? Could you repeat that again?
I got myself caught back up on 30 Rock, which a show
so
that I
it jumped. So was it ever it, like?
I think it
not
jumped a shark.
The shark?
I think it jumped
never
a shark
was
in it. Like.
Okay, go continue. I never was a fan.
I think it jumped a shark in like the third season, and ever since then it gets increasingly absurd, and which is exactly what I want out of it. Such as in this past season, they had a bunch of internal promos with Stacey Keach, selling couches. And in one of them, Stacey Keach spits at the camera. And that kind of thing is exactly what I want. And Margaret Cho playing Kim Jong Il and Kim Jong Un in the same episode. You know, things like this are the things that I like about 30 Rock and have ever since it really went off the rails.
Now, I thought it was just too, like, I thought it suffered from a case of over exuberant studio audience-itis, you know? It seemed like the studio audience really got into it, and I never thought it was that great.
Now, when you say studio audience, you mean home audience? Because it was obviously not filmed in front of a studio audience.
It was not filmed in front of a studio audience?
30 Rock?
Oh, there's 30 Rock.
Have you ever seen 30 Rock?
Holy crap.
It's still a show.
Okay, hang on a second. Do you know what I thought you were saying this whole time?
What's that?
Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, good Lord. No. No.
Okay. Something is going wrong because of this last week I had been confusing Kristen Stewart and Ashley Greene the whole time. Something is happening.
I
heard 30 Rock and my brain told me Third Rock. Son.
Yeah, so, totally different.
That's
story.
Why I was having trouble processing your criticism.
I like Sean Lithgow, but I'm not going to sit around supporting this show.
Was that Joseph Gordon-Levitt? Who was the kid?
Yeah,
he was Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah. No, I'm not so impressed with that kind of kid.
Man, although now 30th Rock from the Sun is a mashup. So on YouTube, better get on.
Well, I'm just glad we don't have to sit around and talk about 3rd Rock from the Sun.
No, we don't need to talk about that. We don't need to talk about David French or anybody.
French Stewart, you mean?
Or French Stewart, whatever. We're all confused about a lot of things these days.
This episode of the podcast is like one of those things you see in a highlights magazine where you have to find all the mistakes picture.
That's right. This is the most confusing, confounding part.
Okay, so far, everyone, make sure you circle maudlin, circle 30 Rock, Sun, and French to it.
Okay. Oh, man. I felt like I usually say playfully that we wait, you know, we kill some time, we waste some time into your weekend, but I think we very literally just wasted some people's time. So I totally have been zoning out, so I don't know if there's anything. But I will say I was – actually, ironically enough, I was never really into 30 Rock to begin with anyway. So
Fair
I guess
enough.
It shares that enough with 3rd Rock from the Sun.
Fair enough.
Because I was wondering, like, Kim Jong-il was in 3rd Rock from the Sun?
Kim Jong-un was pretty young at that point, so.
He would have been, yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else?
Speaking of Kristen Stewart, I recently watched Snow White and the Huntsman.
Okay.
Which was a whole lot better than I expected it to be. Not to say it's great, but a whole lot better than I expected it to be.
All right. And Kristen Stewart not coming back for the sequel, correct?
I don't know that, actually.
I think
that's, yeah, that's true.
That's a scuttlebutt. That's true. So she's out.
Okay.
All right, so not bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. But it has been a while, so I'm probably forgetting a couple of extremely important things.
Oh, feel free to interrupt as they
will, because I've been confused lately, too.
Okay. Mac, how about you?
Let's see. Well, you know I'm a big fan of the TV show Castle.
Yes.
And the latest book has come out. This is...
I didn't know there were previous books.
Yeah, this is the fourth one. And this is, you know, the character on the show, Castle, he's a writer. And this is one of the novels supposedly written by Richard Castle. So it's all very meta.
Gotcha, yeah.
And of course, there's a lot of speculation online as to who is really writing these.
Now, is it supposed to tie into the arcs on the show?
Not necessarily. I mean, they do some cross-promotion stuff, so when the new book comes out, the characters are shown holding it on the show saying, oh, the new book is out. Other than that, not really, because the books are about the detective Nicky Heat, improbably named Nicky Heat,
yeah.
Who is based on Beckett on the show. Like I said, it's all totally meta. And so it's like Nicky Heat's adventures. There are lots of little Easter eggs, though, that and little references to the show that they sneak into the books, which is really kind of fun. So I've been enjoying that. People say, oh, they just got some hack to write it. But, you know, whoever is writing these things has really watched the show because a lot of little in-jokes are snuck in there.
Do they have Castle, like, action figures? Because they have action figures for everything.
I know. I keep waiting for Castle action figures, but they haven't come out with any yet.
Couldn't you just take, like, a Malcolm Reynolds action figure from Firefly and, you know, give him a suit or something? And there you go, right?
Yeah, maybe. You know, he's got the special made... a bulletproof vest, only instead of police on the chest, it says writer on the chest.
Gotcha.
That's a natural for the action figure right there.
There you go. All right, good. Maybe you can buy your own bulletproof vest with the word writer on it, you know?
Yeah, you know, I looked that up. Those things are expensive.
They are?
Yeah.
How much does a bulletproof vest cost?
It's like $500.
What? Man. That's not bad for being bulletproof.
That's pretty good.
I guess compared to what else you could spend $500 on. Yeah. Maybe actually that's a great deal when you think about it. The more and more I think about it, it's an amazing deal.
Oh, wait, you said bulletproof? I thought you said mulletproof. Another goof.
So, yes.
All right, anything else, Mac?
Yeah, that should pretty much do it. I guess I have a Castle News this season premieres coming up soon. So.
Very good.
In addition to lots of other new shows and season premieres. But.
Well, you know, I'm gonna take that segue, and I'm going to – jump in front of Eric real quick and just because this is all I have. Speaking of which, somebody tell me a new show to watch because I do not know.
I can't help you.
Yeah, you just name a new show or recommend something.
Recommend something. I can name a bunch of crap, but please tell me.
I feel like okay, so just a show to watch. Doesn't that be a new show this fall? Just a show you should watch.
That grabs your attention, as my colleagues here, you know, whose recommendations I trust. Is there – because nothing. There's nothing out there that –
But you're not talking about a brand new show this fall.
No, I am talking. Brand new show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you are.
I feel like I've heard good things. I got my standbys. So, sure.
I feel like I saw something good online about the new Sean Ryan show.
New Sean – okay.
I forget what it's called. I have to look it up because I haven't seen it yet.
All right. New Sean Ryan show.
It's good. Which means it'll last six episodes, but that's pretty
good. That's right.
This is the whole problem. Like I keep seeing it. Some stupid show with Matthew Perry.
Right. Yeah.
Gets all the press, and a show like Community has to fight for survival. So I don't even understand, you know, where the networks are coming from.
Right.
And I've seen the pilot for that Matthew Perry show. It is not very good.
Okay.
I cannot imagine. And every time I see it, I see Goon, which I think is a lot more fitting than what it's actually called.
Yeah, Goon, right.
Right, go on. Okay, the show is called Last Resort.
Last Resort. Is it?
Apparently, Last Resort. I don't know what it's on. It is on ABC.
Okay.
What's
it on? Do we know?
Let me find out. I'm looking online here. It is a show. I found an article where
Is that the one about the submarine? No.
Oh, yeah. Navy. It's a Navy something.
Yeah, submarine that thriller. Submarine defies orders and pulls out in a...
It's a submarine movie of some sort.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So is this a comedy or a drama or
drama? I don't know if Sean Ryan's done any comedies yet.
I don't think if they are, I don't think they'd be terribly funny.
There's that S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff, right? That was really hilarious.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. exclamation point.
With Ty bringing it back with Stuart French as the wacky neighbor. So yeah,
that's French Stuart. It's French Stuart. Not Stuart French. Although they are probably interchangeable.
Circle that one at home, kids. That's good. French Stewart, speaking of Community, French Stewart was on the last season of Community.
He was as a French Stewart impersonator.
Hey, he was very good.
Excellent. So, okay, so then the answer to my original question is a resounding no, correct?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to this.
There's Revolution is the new J.J. Abrams produced show. It takes place in the dystopian future.
It just doesn't look very interesting.
The premise doesn't look very interesting to me, yeah. And then it seems to descend into Hunger Games stuff, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's the dystopian future, but everyone's hair is just perfect.
That's right. The Sherlock thing.
No. How do they get their hair dryers to work if there's no electricity?
That's a good point. I don't know. Bear farting, I think.
Why do you, after BBC's BBC's great Sherlock, why do you need a new one with Lucy friggin' Liu?
I agree. I do not understand.
This pause makes any sense to me.
Look how edgy.
Watson's an Asian woman. Wow.
Sherlock's a eunuch. This is great. Okay, that's all I need.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Eric. Take the ball and run to the end.
Okay, well, I haven't been watching too much this week because I've been spending so much time on one of my review assignments. So I'll talk about that now because I have something else I can talk about. So I've been watching the Terminator Anthology Blu-ray set, which is just kind of – it's a collection of the four previously released Blu-rays of the movies. So same menu art, same transfer, same everything, just new label art and new packaging and stuff.
Is it packaged in like a skull or an arm or?
It's pretty cool. It's pretty kind of heavy duty material, kind of like the heavy duty material of the Alien anthology, although different. It's kind of a fold out thing, and it's got an embossed T-800 head that goes in a slip case with a big T cut out of it. It looks pretty slick.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long, long time since I've seen the first two Terminator movies. I'd say at least a decade.
Yeah.
And I never got around to seeing three or four. So this is the first time for me. I'm only partway through Salvation. I watched three for the first time yesterday.
And what'd you think of three?
I liked it alright. I think my problem is that I'm not terribly crazy about all of the movies now. Like going back and watching the first two. They're okay, but I think a lot of the problems I have with Cameron in general are just kind of magnified in his movies for some reason. The first one, which I expected to be the kind of, I don't know, if not the best one, then certainly like a kind of classic bit of, you know, 80s sci-fi, feels surprisingly cheap. I was surprised at how kind of flimsy it all seems like chase scene, exposition, kind of rinse and repeat. But it's fine. It's good. And then two, I was like, okay, two. Two's gonna be great because this is the icon. I remember loving this when I first saw it. And there are some, you know, legit action scenes, some great chase stuff. But then you got that, all the stuff with John Connor and the Terminator, which I just find painful to watch.
Yeah, Furlong is rough in that.
Brutal
miscasting, I thought.
Yeah, so really, a lot of that stuff kind of drags me down. Three, I thought was actually, except for the fact that basically every Terminator movie is the same. Because they all begin the exact same way. They all have the same flash forward to the future with the tank rolling over the skull, except every time it looks a little bit better.
Right.
And then there's the same naked people, explode in the electricity, and then they, steal someone's clothes. But I have to say three, and I remember you showing me this when I was at your house, has, I think, the best action sequence in any of the movies.
One of the best of all time. I honestly think that
chase scene with the unmanned cars and the crane, that is just spectacular.
It is spectacular, and it's still to this day one of my reference. You just fire that up, and I've always been a fan of three. I probably liked it a little bit more than most people do, and I think just because it's brisk, right?
Yeah.
I mean, T2 there's a lot of great spectacle. I never felt brisk, I mean,
it gets really bogged down.
Sometimes,
there's a lot of
right.
There's basically the whole middle of the movie is kind of bad is free of the bad Terminator. She like disappears partway through and then shows up again at the end. In the middle, they're just sort of a lot of the John Connor trying to teach the Terminator how to smile and kind of awkward stuff. And then all the trying to take down the guy from Cybertron.
Right.
And then at the end it kind of picks up a bit. But yeah, T3 definitely brisk. I like that.
It's a road movie. I don't know. It's different. Nice.
I like the way it wraps up by tying it then into where the whole series is going.
Yeah.
Because pretty much the first two movies, like all of the dystopian future stuff is just sort of in kind of dream sequences and flash forward type stuff. So it's all kind of really, it's all really set in the present. You just have to take everyone's word that it's going to get bad in the future. I like that about three. I mean, I'm only about half an hour into Salvation. So far, I appreciate that at least it's a little bit different. My opinion may change drastically by the time I finish watching it, but for now, it's okay. I don't know.
All right.
So yeah, it's been a little bit of a rockier journey than I expected it to be, but that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, moving on, I guess. Stuff we're doing for the site. Mac.
For the site, yeah, I just finished up a review for the, this is, well, you know, I said that I was done with anime. No more anime, I said to myself.
Oh, and, that's yourself. I don't know if you declared it on a billboard or something. I did not know. I was not aware of that. So what did you subject yourself to?
I said, no more anime, but then now I've got an anime release that I'm watching. Yeah, this is the anime version of Marvel Comics' Wolverine.
Yeah, I haven't heard awesome things about that.
It's kind of a middle of the road. It delivers what it promises. You know, it's an anime version of Wolverine. There you go. That's what you get. And so they pretty much stick to the characters we're familiar with him. You know, he's a tough guy. He's a loner. He's got metal claws. He's got crazy hair. And because it wouldn't be anime without crazy hair. And in this one, he travels to Japan and he's trying to rescue his girlfriend, and there's a lady ninja and there's, you know, martial arts fighting and stuff like that.
Isn't that what the rumored next big screen Wolverine movie is supposed to revolve around? Some kind of stuff happening in Japan?
Yeah. I heard that. I don't know if that's true or not.
Right.
That's a big deal in the comics. In the comics, they did a lot of stuff with him going to Japan and learning the ways of the samurai. So a lot of Wolverine stories from the comics have that real sort of East meets West type of feel to them, which says to me that, you know, this could work as an anime. So thing is, it's not terrible. It's just nothing we haven't already seen. You know?
Yeah.
For the comic book fans, might enjoy it if they're willing to have kind of an open mind, saying here's a version of the character that's a little bit different, but not too different. For the anime fans, they've seen all this before.
Okay.
So.
All right. Doesn't sound like a glowing endorsement, I have to say.
Yeah, it wasn't awful. It was just middle of the road.
All right. Daryl. Well, Daryl, he's still there.
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Daryl?
Are you muted? Daryl.
I think we lost Daryl. So
you didn't. Oh,
there we go.
My microphone went off. My microphone turned off real fast. Sorry about that.
No problem.
It's a disaster.
We had such a flow going, too.
In the 4 weeks I've been gone or whatever, I've totally forgotten how to use my microphone. So I'm sorry. This week I've got from Something Weird, a label that I've always kind of liked seeing stuff from, a six – a film collection called Weird Noir. And as a film noir fan, I just have to object to the fact that none of these movies are actually film noirs, which is normally the case. But there are good old roadshow exploitation movies in which, in one instance, a man gives his wife up as collateral for a speeding ticket.
All right.
Huh? So this is, you know, this is not late 50s this is late 50s exploitation filmmaking at its worst. But I've got that. I've got an old Corman biker movie called Naked Angels. Nothing that special.
All right. You sure you don't want to get in more into Naked Angels?
It's boring.
Okay. They usually are with names like that, let's be honest. Yes.
Kurgan did a whole bunch of those biker flicks.
Yeah, it was like his second or third one. And it stars some, apparently some real Hell's Angels, and does feature a location that is that I've only ever heard of through Fallout New Vegas in Good Springs, Nevada. So so it has that going for it, I guess, for today's video game audience. But beyond that, it's really pretty boring.
All right. Yeah, I don't think today's – I'm gross overgeneralization, by the way, but I don't think today's video game audience is interested in something called Naked Angels unless it contains Naked Angels.
So, and it doesn't.
Okay, unfortunate. All right, Eric, did you have anything else to add to your Terminator mega
set? Yeah, one – nothing more about Terminator, but I'm also reviewing Mad Monster Party, which is a Rankin-Bass movie from the late – mid-60s, I think. I have to look that up. It's – kind of boring. I feel kind of cranky this week. I don't know why. I can see why people who maybe, I bet people who watched it when it was on and they were young probably have affection for it. Watching it now, it just feels very slow and plotting. In fact, it's 95 minutes long, which is way too long for this. And, for some reason, something about that stop motion style of animation that just makes all the jokes seem like they take a beat too long to get to land for some reason. I don't know what it is. There's something kind of about the pacing that didn't work for me. And I was watching it with my daughter this morning because I was like, oh, we can watch this together. And I said, oh, we're going to watch this Monster Party. And while we were watching it, she said, when's the party going to start? Which I think is probably a pretty good question to ask about this. Although I will say it's for kids and I guess mild spoilers for Mad Monster Party. It ends in it with a giant mushroom cloud, which I think is pretty bold for a movie for kids.
Yeah, let's got that going for it, so
yeah, that.
Which is nice.
I kind of agree with you. It's cute, but it is a little too long.
Yeah. Okay, and just for me, I guess a movie called Blood Money, released from a studio, Accelerator, capital X, capital L, R-A-T-O-R, Accelerator.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds classy.
It is. So actually, I had moderately high hopes because they were just on, it's an action movie, and they're talking about how their main guy is a former Shaolin monk, you know, and it's no wires or CGI or anything. And so I said, oh, is this the next The Raid or Tony Jaa movie? You know, is this going to be one of those great gems that I just love finding from, you know, overseas action stuff? And it had some moments, but I guess the theme here, this too, was dull and boring as well. So, like Wolverine, Naked Angels, and whatever movie you just talked about, Eric. This
Mad Monster Party.
Thank you, Mad Monster Party. Yeah, this too is up. There's a few cool spots. He breaks a steel bar over his head, which is nice. The action is choreographed okay, but it's pretty dull. In fact, I'm really struggling to remember what it's about, to be honest, so which would probably help for the review, wouldn't it? So, but yeah.
Make
so, unfortunate. So, Blood Money isn't the next coming of Ong Bak, so be warned. So, moving on, Mac, what's next?
All right, we're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and then we're going to scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for September 18th. We're just going to talk about whatever we see on the list here.
Oh.
Probably big release of the week is Cabin in the Woods, which I really liked. I thought it was just a blast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I'm excited to see.
Yeah. I would have thought the big release of the week was the Indiana Jones.
That, too. It's a multi-disc set.
Big
all
release
four.
Of the week was Best of Ernest.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You're right.
Check and mate. Yeah, I've heard good things about that Indiana Jones set, so.
Yeah,
they say brand new transfers and lots of extras and stuff.
Very good.
Probably can't make the bad parts of the sequels better, but at least it'll look good.
Let's see, what else we have?
Ed Wood on Blu-ray, which is, I think, Tim Burton's, I'll say best, I might say only good, but best movie.
Ooh.
One of his best, I don't know.
One of his best, that's for sure.
I'd say it's his best.
Oh, actually, I'm going to quickly call it audible because just something did occur to me. I'm going to go back to something we've watched recently. I rented the movie Safe, Jason Statham movie.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. Really surprised by it. I had little hope. A friend of mine said you should check it out. I watched it. Really cool. but I really highly recommend it, actually. And I'm not a huge
I like fan. Jason Statham. I like him.
Did you watch this? Have you seen this movie?
I haven't seen Safe, but I love the Crank movies.
Yeah, I
absolutely love the Crank movies.
Didn't do too much for me, but this is not. This is like a very. This is a more traditional action movie, but it's just very well done. There's a great hook to it. He's essentially, really bad stuff happens to him. He's on the edge, and he finds kind of redemption in taking care of this genius Chinese girl who's got very important information in her head that every single bad guy in New York City is after. So it's just a great stream of action scenes and very old school and. I know, highly recommend it. Highly recommend Safe. Really surprised me. My surprise of the year. But anyway, back to what was I looking at here? Oh, there's Halloween 3, yeah?
Yeah, Halloween 2 as well. So
Halloween 2 and 3. And then there's The Game, which is something I haven't seen it for a long time, but was forever my favorite David Fincher movie.
And that's a Criterion release.
Mm-hmm. So
that's one of my wife's favorite movies, loves The Game.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that. I think I only saw it the one time. I really need to see it again.
Yeah, I watched it again recently. I think it's probably best the first time you watch it. But
fair enough. Once you know the game, as it were,
right.
It kind of loses a little bit, I would imagine. But it's been a long time since I've seen it, so it's something I'm certainly going to be looking at.
I do remember thinking that a lot of the smoke and mirrors hinged on the fact that Michael Douglas throws himself off the right side of the building at the end.
There are an awful lot of things that come
right. It seems like everyone had to sign some waivers because a lot of things
I think they probably got that guy from that one Fringe episode about the guy who could predict make this. See, I get that now, Dave.
You do. Great. Excellent.
I mean, I think we're dropping Fringe references.
How about Avenging Force, the Scarab? What do you think of that?
Oh, no.
What do you think of that, man? Look at those heroes.
I think it's some pretty impressive restraint that this isn't being released the same week as the Avengers on Blu-ray.
Exactly.
That's some remarkable restraint.
It is remarkable.
They probably just got mixed up. So something else I reviewed recently, the Steve Martin TV Stuff box set is coming out, and that's very cool.
There's a terrible Stallone Judge Dredd movie in time for the new Dredd movie.
Yes, the Stallone version, Fred.
Yes. I like to say it's the Rob Schneider version myself. What else? Anything else jumping out at you?
Great Mouse Detective.
Okay.
Huh?
That's on Blu-ray.
Supernatural Season 7, show that I like. So, I don't know. A bunch of stuff. Ooh, Venus Wars looks pretty awesome.
Yes, acoustic. For those of you who were looking for acoustic versions of Yes, classics.
Yes. Finally.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd imagine every time someone buys that, it turns into an Abbott and Costello routine.
All right. End of early sleazy sonic de-release of the week. Daryl, why don't you go first since you're back?
We're going to go with – I saw one earlier that worked okay for me. What was it? That's just playing it easy. That doesn't work.
Go for the layup if you want. It's okay.
I'll go for the layup. Man Trap.
That's good.
That works.
That's right. Mac?
The Last Decade of Steam.
That's a good one as well.
Eric?
Dracula Blows His Cool.
Excellent. That's the winner. I'm not even going to bother. That's the correct answer. All I had was the Red Hand Game.
That works too.
Okay. All right. So lots of stuff here. So why don't you peruse, purchase, and support your beloved site. So let's move on to our last topic, our last segment rather, our ambush topics, random topics thrown at each other. Let's see. I'll kick it off, gentlemen. Your ambush topic is large serving of food.
That's interesting. One of my choices this week was a food topic.
Excellent.
That I decided not to use. So I'm glad you did.
All right.
My favorite food scene in any movie ever is in a movie that probably nobody here has seen and I can't blame them necessarily, but is a movie called Singapore Sling.
Madonna?
No.
Which one's that?
I don't I don't know.
Dave, you're thinking of Desperately Seeking Susan.
Oh, no.
Okay, there you go.
She did a Singapore movie.
Shanghai Surprise, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
These are all very different.
Kids, circle that one, too.
Singapore Sling. It sounds familiar. Is like some kind of cheesy B actress in that or something?
No, it's a Greek movie. It's kind of it's unclassifiable. It's a cult movie. Came out in the early 90s. It's black and white. It's bizarre. It's really, really well shot. There's a review of it on the site. I don't remember who did it off the top of my head, but it's a good review. There's a long eating scene where it's a mother and daughter, and they eat mounds all of food, all of which is totally unrecognizable except for a pig's head.
Okay.
It is unrecognizable, and they just stuff themselves with junk over and over and over, and it's revolting. And I highly recommend it.
Okay.
The first thing that popped into my head, and it's been forever since I've seen this movie too, is the scene in Hook where all of the Lost Boys are eating like basically blue mashed potatoes. It seems to be my recollection.
It goes great with blue milk, right?
That's right.
I don't remember that, but I'll take your word for it.
So I barely remember it either.
They didn't have any food. They just had empty bowls, and they were imagining
their
meal. And then it was all magical, and their imagination came to life. Let's see. For me, I'm trying to remember. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the movie was The Great Outdoors.
Bastard!
Oh, I took yours! Oh, no!
Oh, you bastard. The old 96er, right?
Man. He eats part of the steak, but, and then they tell him, no, you have to eat all the fat.
That's right. There's nothing on that plate but fat, gristling fat.
Was it the Grizzly Bear Challenge? Is that what they called it?
No, the old 96er.
Okay.
That's what it was called. I brought the old 96er. And then they showed up in the raccoons and he vomited.
Oh, that's right. So I should watch that again.
Diabolical. Well, I have to go with my backup. I can't believe I have to choose a backup, but this might be a stretch, but Pizza the Hut and Spaceballs, right? Oh, yeah. His cohort just started eating him at the end. I was like, oh, there's a lot to go around. So there's a giant helping of pizza. So, all right, but well done, Mac. 2 points for you for the steal. So, you know, why don't you go next then?
Okay.
That's your victory present. That's your present.
Well, my topic Eric kind of already covered, so maybe Eric can get a pass. The topic is cyborgs.
No, I'll try to think of something.
I'm just going to go straight up with RoboCop, which I watched recently and completely loved all over again.
That's an awesome movie.
RoboCop is
great. Yeah, it really holds up.
Really, one. I mean, such a. I know they're doing the remake, but and it, obviously it'll suck. But really, it just seems like such a. That movie's got such a unique tone to it, you know.
Yeah, it's funny and it's horribly violent.
It's a
got
unique approach.
Great commercials. Yes. You know, internal commercials, just all the way around.
The
really.
SUX, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Board game or whatever.
And the horrible romance between RoboCop and Nancy Allen or whoever that. I think it's Nancy Allen.
Yeah, Nancy Allen. I'm not sure. Is there a story like she got that job from, like, her husband was a director or something like that? Because she was the most wooden. She was so wooden in that movie.
But she's awful. I can't imagine that she'd be married to Paul Verhoeven. But
okay, maybe not. Maybe it's like Keith.
I don't know.
I'm
saying it's impossible. I just don't know.
I hear she was having an affair with Ed 209.
Oh, what a great movie. It's, excellent. I always love the crotch shot, you know. The end of the montage.
Oh,
this crime-fighting montage, right, where he shoots the dude in the junk, right? You know.
Right. Oh yeah, that's right.
Takes advantage of the female hostage's anatomy. That's great. Let's see. Now, Universal Soldier, those guys aren't cyborgs, I don't think, right? There's no circuitry or anything in them, so
Were just like mentally reprogrammed.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with the other Van Damme, the movie Cyborg.
Cyborg, sure.
Another weirdly toned movie. It's an odd movie. It's one of the most un-Van Damme movies you'll ever see.
Wasn't Angelina Jolie's first movie Cyborg 2?
I think you're right. Wow. I think you're correct.
Okay.
I don't know. I've never seen Cyborg 2. I don't know what the continuity is from the first one.
They fight a lot.
Thank you. That's the theme that holds it together. But I just remember Van Damme got crucified, and he stabbed some guy with a spear at the end, and it was a very like muted, understated movie. And I don't think there were a lot of triple kicks he did in that. So it was an odd one.
Well, that fight scene at the end does go on like forever.
It does go on forever. Yes, it does go on. So I'll give him that much.
All right, I'll go with the TV show. I'll go with the Cybermen from Doctor Who.
Oh.
They must go back to the original, like, old days, right?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So they show up again in the new recent seasons of Doctor Who. And now at first I was really excited to see them, and then after a while it became like the Daleks, where it was like, really? The Cybermen? I was a little disappointed when I found out it was the Cybermen of the Daleks in an episode of Doctor Who. I am cranky. Why am I so cranky today?
All right.
Come on, I gotta love something. I gotta love something. I do like Doctor Who, though.
Someone needs an ambush topic. Daughters.
Oh, I love my daughter.
Okay.
Alright, so
yeah,
back to me then.
Yeah.
So I recently got my hands on this collection of these really old, really cheesy sci-fi movies. And there's one in there called Hands of Steel.
Manos, Hands of Steel, yeah.
Not quite. Close. this is a post-apocalypse movie from like the early 80s.
You repeat yourself, right?
What's that?
All the post-apocalyptic movies are from the early 80s.
Pretty much.
It was a concern back then, Dave.
No, it was a concern.
You're really worried about that stuff.
They include the important message in the movie about the acid rain.
Oh, excellent.
Gotta watch out for that acid rain.
Not nearly talked about enough these days.
So the movie is about the cyborg who's programmed to take out the evil corporation's enemies. But then, he gets in touch with his human side and becomes a good guy. Our side is played, I don't know the actor's name, but the guy is just this huge muscle-bound lunkhead, just bulging with muscles on every part of him. The character's name, by the way, you've got this awesome cyborg in the future. What are you going to name your awesome cyborg?
Yeah.
They name him Paco.
Excellent. Paco?
Wow.
Paco.
Wow.
And that. You never expect Paco to be bad.
And Paco's signature move when he's fighting guys, I don't know if you can picture this, but he holds his arms out in front of him like an X with his his palms facing him and the backs of his hands facing outward, and then he slaps his enemies on both sides of his enemies' heads with the backs of his hands.
He's
like
a kick puncher.
Yeah, like that. And that kills them, and that's his signature move.
All right. Paco. Yeah, it's actually an ingenious name because the bad guys aren't prepared to, hey, Paco's coming. Ah, oh, we're okay. We'll handle this.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. And they just get slapped to death. Very good. Eric.
All right. Memorable gestures.
I'm going to go with that skit from The State, the sketch from The State. The International Sign 4 sketch. Does anyone remember that?
I sort of do, but I'm,
right, you know,
I'm stuck to say I'm trying to
yeah,
it. No, it's okay.
It's one of those things I don't even want to bother explaining because I do a terrible job and it would just make it suck. So I'm going to
is that the one where they're in the restaurant?
Yeah, they're about whatever.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's funny, but we'll continue. I'll try to think of a better one because I hate describing them because it would be a terrible job. So I'll give it another thought. If anyone has another gesture, jump right in.
I'm trying to think of a great flip-off scene, but I...
Okay, I'll go. I just got one. Data doing the... another thing you don't see too much these days, the old, the hand on the bicep, throw the arm up, flip-off. What's that called? Do you know what that is? It's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a name for it.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't really see... That was pretty big in the 80s, but, Data and Goonies unleashes that. You know, and those guys, while they're banging their crotches against the oily log. So, whatever that is.
Yeah, the older sister does that in Poltergeist to the construction workers.
That's right. Poltergeist too. Yeah.
Yeah. Bring that gesture back.
I'm going to go, now that I think about it, with do you guys remember Wild at Heart?
The David Lynch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's the scene where the punk in the bar hits on Laura Dern. And they get in a little fight, and then at the end of the fight, to punctuate the fight, Nick Cage drops his cigarette down and stamps on the guy's hand on the cigarette. So I'm gonna say that's where I'm going.
Nice.
Well, I'm not quite sure if this one counts or not. I think it does because you know we have rules for these things. And but in Pulp Fiction, there's the bit where Uma Thurman's character asks Travolta, "Do you don't want to be a square?" But instead of saying the word square, she does the motion with her fingers, and they added a little animated outline of a square right on the screen.
I gotta say, I hated that scene when it
really.
Yeah, I hated that, but I understand.
The first time I saw the movie, that kind of made me sit up and take notice, which is like, oh, this is something different. This is something that. Out of the ordinary, not just another crime thriller.
No, agreed, but it was a little bit too blatant, I guess, for my taste.
The rest of the movie is pretty subtle, so.
He's a very subtle director in general, and deserves credit for that.
Okay, so back to me. So mine, inspired by Terminator 2, when I think in the emotional climax, as Arnold Schwarzenegger is being, you know, melted by the hot molten metal, he gives the thumbs up.
Yes.
Which I assume brought tears to no one's eyes because it's ridiculous. I don't know why they did that. I guess because you couldn't flip them off.
It would be great if you did give him the finger.
That would have been great. I think I would have liked the movie a lot more.
It just flipped off that little douchebag that we all wanted.
Yeah. Now, speaking of like flipping off, When you were talking about something, I forget what, just 2 minutes ago, so it doesn't matter. But isn't there, in Star Trek 4, Mac, doesn't someone flip someone off in that movie?
The punk on Kirk? The bus flips
yes.
off Spock.
Oh, good, yes.
Yeah, and the joke was originally that Spock was going to give him the middle finger back, but on the day they were filming it, they came up with the idea to do the Vulcan neck pinch instead. Nice. And movie history was made.
That's because I, in my head, I was thinking, did Spock flip someone off in that movie? And if so, why don't I remember that?
Okay. I think that was originally in the script for Raiders, too, right? The swordsman does this thing, and then he just flips him off, right?
It was also part of Casablanca. There's really a long history of scenes that were almost people flipping each other off.
A lot of deleted
classic scenes run that way.
All right, Daryl, take us home.
All right, I'm going to go with something versus something. Something either in a movie that you like or just something you want to see. Something against something in a fight.
So I'm going to ask you to narrow it then. Is it something in a movie or something you want to see?
Well, let's say something in a movie then.
Okay. So a good something versus something.
My answer is a zombie versus a shark.
Ah, yes, zombie nice. Too.
Fantastic, zombie.
Fantastic, yes.
The best zombie fight ever, and of course the zombie wins.
Yeah, that's great.
Spoiler alert.
That's very good. Zombie versus shark. Okay.
Well, you know, of course there's Freddy versus Jason, or Jason versus Freddy, whatever the title of the movie is.
That's right.
Which I'll admit that it's not that great of a movie, but it's kind of a guilty pleasure for me.
I think there's a lot of blood, so that's something.
Yeah,
right?
It's a guilty pleasure. It's a popcorn movie. They actually do fight, and there is a clear-cut winner at the end, which is two things that I was worried we wouldn't see in the movie, right. But we did get it. So.
I think one of my all-time favorites is King Kong versus T-Rex in the original.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
That's a great one, yeah.
And watching King Kong at an early age, it's seen always just... very iconic scene, you know, just
The animator Ray Harryhausen, he was a boxer in his youth, and he actually had Kong do some like boxing moves.
Yeah, that's right.
When he throws those two punches in a row.
But just like the little things, the brilliance of that movie. So, you know, when he breaks the jaw, which is pretty violent, actually, mm-hmm. you know, but when he breaks the T-Rex's jaw, just the way how he kind of tosses, you know, just tosses around its lifeless head, you know, it's just, that movie is brilliant. So brilliant. But anyway, love that. Yeah, slightly better than King Kong versus Three Drunken Hunters in King Kong Lives.
King Kong also shows up in Mad Monster Party.
He does. Huh?
Nice. Although in that movie they have to call him it because of licensing. So I'm gonna go. I was gonna go back to Terminator, but I'm not gonna do that again. So I'm gonna go to Community in the last season. Troy versus Abed in the great. Pillow fight episode.
Yeah. Brother against brother.
Yeah.
And that was pillows versus blankets.
Yeah, actually, it's weird because we had the pillow fort and the blanket fort, but then they all just ended up fighting with pillows. That was a great, great Ken Burns style documentary with a great narration. That's a great show.
It is a great show.
Is/was a great show. We'll see what happens. I don't want to be too harsh because I know a lot of the writers are still on the show and I.
There you go.
Even though they recently announced that part of the season premiere is going to involve a Hunger Games parody, I'm still keeping an open mind.
That's right, right.
Open mind.
Did you hear they retitled the show Tyler Perry's Community? Have you heard that? You're okay with that. Just FYI.
I'm okay with that. I'm surprisingly okay with that.
Okay. So I guess that's it. That's it. So that is this edition of the Friday Filibuster in the can. So thank you for tuning in. FridayFilibuster at DVDVerdict.com is our email address. Thank you to Mac, Eric, and Daryl, who we welcome back with open arms. And that being said, Mac, take us away.
I'd buy that for a dollar.